go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! It is Friday on the front porch, and we are off and running with the ring of the cowbell. You just can't have enough cowbell. I got a FIFA, and the only Cua. Yeah, you know the rest of it. It is Friday on the front porch on the horn, the fourth day of September 2015. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live, and that's where you go to jump into the chat room. Right now, Earther and Jugapunch and longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky are there. Yes, indeed. I am told that Rick and Kim from L.A., both of them are from L.A., are already in the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. That, of course, is where Friday on the Front Porch takes place for the most part. And you can be part of the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable if you see fit, if you choose, by sending a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, S-P-A-R-K-Y-D-U-N-C, Sparky Dunk. He'll add you, and you will be part of the roundtable discussion composed of ordinary, extraordinary, just plain folks. And I mean that as a compliment, not as a critique. Right? Right. Good, good. And so, also at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, but you know this, you'll find the Contribute tab. That Contribute tab is, in point of fact, an access point, an interface, if you will, with PayPal. And there, and those fields that are there because PayPal requires them. Although, for God's sakes, you can leave blank all that business about what you do for Mr. Potter down at the Pottersville Bank and Trust in Pottersville. You get the idea. Yeah, leave it alone. Just get to the next screen if you want to help keep us on the air here. We closed the program yesterday evening as we began it down $136.98. That means the fundraising goal for this evening is, in fact, $336.98. And, of course, a reminder, there are premiums on the table. In particular, one that is very much time-sensitive. Too sensitive. One that is time-sensitive and really, really cool, courtesy of Kath from Canada. It will be on the table until the close of this program, this Friday on the front porch. We have two tickets to Sunday's Bojangles Southern 500 NASCAR race in Darlington, South Carolina. If you would like to have those, they are yours for the taking. We're kind of treating it as a bidding process, and they taken together, they are a $216 value. If you're going to be somewhere, or if you are already somewhere near Darlington, you can send me an email. Don't go straight to PayPal. Send me an email saying, I want the tickets, because we don't have to mail them to you. They are emailable, and you just print them off, and they scan the barcode, and you're good to go. They're grandstand tickets. They're great seats. And you will have a heck of a good time there at the Southern 500. And thanks very kindly to Kath from Canada for offering those up for this Labor Day long weekend. I mean, it is a long weekend, and if you've got Monday off, then and you're within driving distance of Darlington, well, you can get the tickets this evening, take off in the morning, or maybe even Sunday morning, depending on where you are, go to the race and be home Sunday night, Monday morning, however you plan to. However you plan to do it, okay? And so let me know what you would be willing to bid. I mean, we're not going to, we'll call it a silent auction. Let me know what you would be willing to bid for the tickets. And by the end of the program, we will have picked out a winner. And somebody will be going to the races, okay? Okay. So there you have it. I mean, like I said, $216 value, and it is it's not a sale. This is a premium offered by Kath from Canada to help with the fundraising here at the Horn as we go into the last program of this first week of September in a $336.98 hole, which has just been reduced courtesy of Carol Baker to, let's see, 8 minus 2 is 6, 9, 886, 11, let's see, 5, 3, 2, a, wait a minute, yeah, carry the 19, to $95.86, that's the 295.86. $295.86 to go on fundraising this evening. Thank you very kindly, Carol. And what a lovely little bit of a roundish change we have there, 86 cents. So thank you. Thank you very kindly. And, well, there's another premium on the table. Anyone wishing to offer up have a show on me, we've got a supply of original movie posters from the film The Last Mountain. And they are yours for the having. $200. That's a show on me. And there we go. And if you want, I'll sign it. Or if you'd rather, I'll sign it on the back. Or if you prefer, I won't sign it at all. And we'll put it in a poster tube and through the U.S. Postal Service and bang, it'll be yours. And we have a number of those available if you would like to have them. Also, we begin the program courtesy of Steve in New York with a $25 challenge. The next $25 coming in will be doubled to 50, courtesy of Steve in New York. Thank you, Steve. And by the way, Sparky tells me that Darlington is a night race. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time Sunday evening. So that means you've got even longer to get there, depending on where you're coming from. By all means, enjoy. I can't imagine that maybe some of our South Carolina contingent from the Horn Family Commune congregation wouldn't just love to do this. As I said, they are $108 per ticket. That's not necessarily what you have to purchase them for. You don't have to purchase them for more. This is just a way of trying to, and they have to go as a pair. They're not going one ticket, one ticket. No. They go as a pair. So hopefully by the end of the program, we'll have somebody that wants to go to the races and have a heck of a good time. About how long, Sparky, about how long would you expect that race to last? Of course, understanding that the time is fluid insofar as things like caution flags can slow down a race and cleaning up the track after wrecks and so forth. It takes, it'd be about 3 to 4 hours. Thanks, Sparky. Thanks. And what Carol sent along a few minutes ago, she sends along because freedom, and that's spelled F-R-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-D-U-M-B, and Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. So there we go. 10 minutes past the hour, and we'll add just a little bit to talk about and carry on about and cuss and discuss along the way. Oh, glory. A part of the $25 challenge has been met by our good friend Gerald, who somehow or another always managed, you know, if I could, I would let Gerald pick my lottery numbers because he wins the Hitler pool every night. Yeah. And saying Hitler pool does not count toward actually winning the, stop it, Gerald. That doesn't count yet. Quit it. But the fundraising goal just dropped. Let's wait a minute. It's a 9 minus 6. It's 3. No. 60, no. 16 minus 9 is 7. 12 minus 8 is 4. 47. And 14 minus 7. Carry the decimal. $288.47 to go. Yes, it's indeed. Thank you. Thank you very kindly, Gerald. And thank you very much. Thank you very much as well to our good friend James in Spain, who subsequently reduced that number to $273.47. So we're off and running with a nice little start. Thank you very kindly. Now, a quick sister clerk, Kim Davis update, shall we? By the way, Gerald informs us that was that $7.39 was for freedom and Jesus. And yes, math is hard. Evil laugh. Especially have to do if you have to do it inside this tiny mind. I mean, this is what I got. What I got up between my ears is kind of like whatever was out. You know, 386 processor. You know, back before the first Pentium. And so, consequently. That means that there is $17.41 to go. No. $17.61 to go in Steve's challenge that begins the program. No. $2.61. Thank you. Thank you very much, James. Me and math. You know, there's a reason I decided to be an English major. Mm-hmm. There's a reason I'm not an engineer or somebody out there doing rocket surgery. Indeed, there is. No, a sister clerk Kim Davis update. And this is kind of good news. It turns out, and this comes courtesy of Tim from L.A., that GoFundMe, no word yet on Indiegogo or Kickstarter, but GoFundMe is not going to let Sister Clerk Kim Davis become an overnight millionaire on their hook. having decided that trying to profit off of an act of deliberate contempt of court is at odds with their terms of service, their TOS. But as we take some righteous note of that fact, we should also take note of the fact that we're dealing with Christianity here, and they will always find a way to complete the hustle. So GoFundMe appears to be out of the loop. But who knows? Maybe one of the billionaire preachers, Creflo Dollar or Kenneth Copeland, could open up their own GoFundMe or style crowdsourcing where, you know, they'll get to get their beaks wet and skim a little bit off the top. Wouldn't surprise me in the least. You know, exclusively for cases of Christian persecution. Because we all know that being asked to perform a duty, being asked to perform a function for which one has taken an oath, yeah, that's just like being fed to the lions there in the Circus Maximus and not in the Flavian Amphitheater, which is called the Colosseum, but didn't have any Christians being fed to lions in it. Right, yeah. And just from just a little social update, Brother Deacon, we have bade a fond farewell to Brother Deacon Asa and his lovely wife Jody. They are headed out of almost level West by Cole, Virginia stand now. Had a beautiful lunch over at Tamarack. Real tasty, good stuff, and great conversation. I have a feeling Brother Deacon Asa and I could just sit down across maybe, you know, with a bottle of good tequila between us and start talking and not run out of stuff to talk about for about, 48, 72 hours, something like that. But we had a wonderful couple of days with them, Agnes and I did, and we both wish them safe travels and an enjoyable journey as they go on their odyssey, and I do mean odyssey, through the American South. Fair winds and all of that stuff. And enjoy what you see. And don't forget to Don't take your eyes off the road, but pay attention through the small towns and byways of the Southeast, because there's lots of interesting stuff. Like, for instance, if you look on my Facebook page, as we were headed home, I saw a pickup truck. It was a red Dodge, and it had a decal in the back of Calvin. You would think that Bill Watterson would be a little bit pissed about the appropriation of his wonderful little boy character, Calvin, from Calvin and Hobbes. It seems to be unstoppable, though. And in most instances, it's not just Calvin, it's Calvin peeing on something, urinating. And in this case, today, Agnes and I noticed a Dodge pick 'em up truck here in, and it's, you know, it's like a game of Where's Waldo with racism here in almost level West by Cole, Virginia, Stan. It's Calvin who has had a coal miner's lantern hat put upon his noggin, and he's a urinating on the word Obama.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, just yesterday, in their own travels through the byways and highways of almost level West by Cole, Virginia, Stan, Brother Deacon Asa and Jody saw the same thing on a different pick-em-up truck. I posted the photograph to my Facebook page, and lo and behold, Asa said, I'll see yours and raise you one. It really is all over the place here in, you know, almost level west by Cole, Virginia, Stan. Gets a little tiresome. Mm-hmm. So, to the best of my knowledge, Sister Clerk Kim Davis is still cooling her heels in the clink, waiting for that great getting up morning to come when somebody will understand that her bigotries, her hatreds, masquerading as religious faith, trump constitutional law and civil society here in Merca, the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever. And she'll get let out of the stir. Yeah. And so what do we call this? Davis is the new black? I don't know. But we got that going for us. The first marriage licenses to gay couples have now been issued in Round County, Kentucky. No meteors have struck Moorhead. And as far as we can tell, no God-fearing, upstanding, traditional, family values Christian marriages are getting less head in Moorhead. See what I did there? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Watch this space for more on the weirdos. And you can expect any day now. I don't know. What was the guy's name? He was God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian Casey County Clerk Casey Davis, trying to get him some of the spotlight. Because he's not going to give any... He's not going to give any marriage licenses to no homosexuals neither. But they just can't find no, apparently they can't find any homosexuals what wants to get hitched there in Casey County. Maybe it's not a homosexual hot spot like Moorhead, Kentucky is. I don't know. Hard to say. But apparently, Sister Clerk Kim Davis has become a vehicle upon which many may ride. And she must be a strong one, because she is now apparently able to bear the burden of carrying on her back the considerable bulk of Pastor, Governor, Brother, Diabetes, Snake Oil Cure Salesman, Mike Huckabee. Mm-hmm. He's already announced that he's having I'm with Kim Liberty rally real soon. I'm sure they'll be passing the hat. And there's lots of good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christian hustlers out there who are saying, tell us now how much you stand with Kim by pressing our donate button right here on our website. Of course, the money's not going to Kim Davis. It's going to, you know, Pastor Whackbottom or whoever the Jesus hustler in question is. And they're trying to Martin Luther Kingize her over there to Fox News TV Radio Rwanda attention-starved creature Todd Starn says, federal judge David Bunning did with the gavel what Bull Connor tried to do with dogs and fire hoses. Mm-hmm. Sure. Bunning, I don't see. I don't see. I'm not aware of any photos of David Bunning's tooth print in the Butox of Sister Clark Kim Davis. Mm-mm. No, not at all. He begins his weird little screed, Todd Starnes does, by saying, Pastor Rick Warren wants to, you know, of the porpoise-driven life. Mm-hmm. You ever heard what them porpoises will do to you when they get you underwater? It ain't pretty. They look, oh, sure, flipper, friendly. No, not when they get in their sexy time mood, it's not. That's why you don't go swim with the wild dolphins. Pastor Rick Warren once told me the fight for religious liberty would become the civil rights issue of our generation. Yeah, see, that's the problem. It's not. This is just bigotry. No one's telling her that she can't pray to homophobic Jesus. She can pray to, worship, whatever homophobic Jesus all day long and all day night and into tomorrow. They can give thanks to homophobic Jesus for the food that blesses their bodies. They can eat a little bit of off-brand saltine and say that they are doing that in remembrance of homophobic Jesus. They can sing hymns, Nearer My God to Thee, in worship of homophobic Jesus. They can gather money together. They can pass the plate in the name of homophobic Jesus. Uh-huh. But anybody occupying political office cannot demand that the rest of our country or state or county or some other political subdivision act in accordance with their bizarre, bigoted, sick, twisted, Christian, evangelical, fundamentalist beliefs, because that's at odds with the Constitution in a very plain and obvious way. But let's check in with Pastor Brother Governor, presidential contender, diabetes, snake oil cure salesman, Mike Huckstraby. Mm-hmm. This is him hustling his rally. Oh, that's true, Earther pointing out. Yeah, Bob, but her religious beliefs say she's entitled to a county clerk job that pays $83,000 a year. It's right there in the Bible in Dumasians 69:1. I thought it was 169, but that don't really work, does it? No. But you are doctrinally, dogmatically, and scripturally correct, Earther. Absolutely. And, yeah, you are aware she makes $83,000 a year in a county where you're lucky if you can make $30,000 a year. That's the median income in Round County, there in Moorhead. Mm-hmm. She makes $53,000 a year above the average median income of the average Mooreheadian and the average Round Countyan. Folks out there, farmers and Sharkey, probably making even less. Yeah. And here's the fun part. Did you realize this? Even though she's cooling her heels as a guest of the federal system, when payday rolls around, and let's see, let's just do a quick little bit of Gazetta, and I'm not going to do the 52, I'm just going to do 83 divided by 12. Six, seven, no, that's, so we got to do 6, and that's 70. 2 and 11, 10, 110. No. Yeah, how about that? When payday rolls around, it'll be somewhere around $3,900 before taxes for 2 weeks. I'm assuming they're paying on a two-week basis. Before taxes, $3,900. Because she makes about $7,800 a month. No, you heard me right. And I'm real sure, I'm pretty sure my gazetta's there. I actually do my gazettas better than I do my ciphers. Yeah. $3,900. And she's gonna and come payday, it's probably gonna direct deposit, because they probably even got direct deposit there in Round County. And somebody in the probably clerk's office, or maybe the assessor's office, I'm not sure, will generate her a check. And she's going to get paid again, because she's been getting paid for not doing her job. And there's no fine involved from Judge Bunning. So that'll just go in the bank. Maybe Hubby Davis can buy himself a new shotgun. Gun. Ooh-wee, for Jesus and freedom. Wolverines! Because she's not going to have to buy any groceries, because she's getting free groceries, three meals a day. Three hots and a cot, baby. And I presume up at the federal facility in Ashland. And I just want to ask you real quick, brethren and sisters, have you read A Porpoise-Driven Life? And have you accepted bigoted, homophobic Jesus into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior? If you haven't, you can probably feel the fiery flames of hell a-licking at your toenails. Now you're just getting envious, and we all know that's a sin, Brother Gerald. You're getting envious, and Gerald says, I'd like a new shot and gun. Well, then you need to run for clerk of a county and refuse to do your job. And refuse to issue marriage licenses to homosexuals. No, I agree, Carol. Carol says that my only solace is that while she's in jail, she's not terrorizing her staff, holding the courthouse hostage, or humiliating gay couples. Although there's still an open question about Sonny Boy, who was supposed to be the heir apparent after she had earned her $83,000 a year for a few terms. Yeah. So let's check in with Pastor Brother Governor, presidential candidate, diabetes, snake oil cure salesman, Mike Huckstaby, and find out all about this Stand With Kim Liberty Rally, shall we? Yes. Glory.
Fall is in the...
I'm not running an ad for Lowe's. Not going to do it. Can't make me. Mm-mm. Not, no, no, no. Yeah, Jesus saves. All others pay cash. And thank you very kindly to Darcy. Darcy just finished off Steve's $25 challenge. And our fundraising goal for the evening is now $238.47. And remember, your chance to go to the Bojangles Southern 500 NASCAR race this Sunday evening in Darlington, South Carolina, is yours for the asking. Send me an email first, bobkincaid@gmail.com. And you may be on your way, as they say, off to the races. Here, let's check in with Fox News TV Radio Rwanda and their persecution alert.
And a woman.
There are no religious liberties of conscience left for elected officials.
and regular citizens are next.
Religious liberty is not a sword with which government, through its employees, may impose particular religious views on others.
The larger issues here are a big topic right now in the United States in terms of religious liberty. Presidential candidate and former Governor Mike Huckabee joins us now. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Well, why didn't you mention the diabetes snake oil cancer cure cinnamon stuff? I like cinnamon.
Governor, I know that you have a rally next Tuesday.
Yes.
At 3 o'clock for Kim Davis. You're very supportive of her. Why?
Because this is the criminalization of Christianity. What she did was follow...
No, it isn't, you goddamn liar. You filthy, rotten, stinking, prevaricating, violator of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not bear false witness, liar. It is not the criminalization of Christianity, because, among other things, Sister Clerk Kim Davis has not been charged with a crime. She is in contempt of court. Because contumely behavior relative to the legal authority of said court. Maybe that's too fine a distinction for a gospel hustler like Huckstorby to understand. Well, there won't be a whole bunch of him. I don't know, stop her up your ears with beeswax like Odysseus's crew sailing near the Sirens, Steve, and it'll be done real quick. I'll tell you. Well, but I'll tell you when you can take it, but then you won't hear it because you don't have beeswax in your ear. Well, oh dear.
The Kentucky Constitution voted on by 75% of the people. She has now been criminalized. She's being held without bail.
Without bail? Really? Without bail? Pastor, brother, governor, presidential candidate, diabetes, snake oil salesman, Mike Huckstorby? Without bail? Mercy, goodness sakes alive. Without bail. And he keeps using that criminalization word. She's been criminalized.
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Me neither, Inigo. No. Shh. Does anybody know why she's not got no bail? Anybody? Bueller? No? She don't got no bail because she don't need no bail. But again, this is apparently too complex for a Christian to comprehend. At least an evangelical fundamentalist one. She doesn't have any bail because she doesn't even have to be there. She can let herself out. She holds the keys to her own cell. She can just and clop 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 on her little cloven hooves and walk right out the door. Because the only person holding her in jail is Sister Clerk Kim Davis. But she's still making demands as if she's queen of the goddamn May. She's demanding that the licenses that have been issued, that her name be removed from them, because otherwise it'll tarnish her standing in the Lamb's Book of Life. If one applies a little bit of logic to the idea of, let's assume she's entitled to bail. One, she's not because this is not a criminal action. But let's assume she is. So the judge sets bail at $32.16. or maybe $38.47 or $238.47. Let's, And she pays the bail. Well, the bail, the only purpose of bail is to guarantee the appearance of the criminal defendant at trial and other proceedings leading up to trial. Since she's not charged with any crime, she doesn't have anything to show up for. And courts are loath to engage in futile acts. You with me? Of course you are. So Mike Huckabee wants her to be released on bail for something in which she is not charged with a crime, which is the only thing that requires bail. Now, you tell me, is that too complex a legal concept? Is that something that Mr. and Mrs. Merca, the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever, just can't wrap their minds around? Because it seems really simple to me. Because if she's entitled to bail, then you're entitled to bail. And I'm entitled to bail. And Pastor Brother Governor Reverend Diabetes Snake Oil Salesman Mike Huckabee is entitled to bail. And whoever the Fox Attack Blonde is that's asking him questions is entitled to bail. And we all got to go pay money to a bail bondsman. But we haven't been charged with any crime. And Emery and Marveline just sitting there in their matching Barca loungers going, she's being persecuted in the name of Jesus. And the normal people are going, are they really this stupid? Is the viewership of Fox News really this stupid? Because, see, you could take hillbilly me. And as soon as you peeled me off the ceiling of the Fox News studio and maybe put a Thorazine dart in my neck to get me calmed down, I could explain this. Granted, it would probably begin, Mike, you ignorant slut. But, really? Of course, this is the same Pastor, Brother, Governor, Reverend, Diabetes, Snake Oil Salesman, presidential candidate Mike Huckabee, who went to Israel recently and told the Israelis that their border, their eastern border, needs to be the Euphrates River. Shh, that's in Iraq. And even the Israelis looked at him and said, what? I mean, I think Bibi Netanyahu said, I'm nuts, but I'm not that nuts. All she has to do is come to the realization that in America, now you know what? Her position would probably, if she was of another faith, her position would probably go great in Saudi Arabia if she was the county clerk of, you know, Riyadh County. Of course, she'd probably be making $152 bajillion a year, which would probably suit her just fine. But then again, her is a her, and her would not be in it because her couldn't even hardly vote unless a male member of her family done carried her. That's how we say drove in Southern. Done carried her to the polls in a beekeeper suit. And she probably couldn't issue no gay marrying licenses to no homosexuals because our partners in peace, the Saudis, would have done lopped their heads off because they're the good head loppers. Maybe we should make her the county clerk of like Tel Aviv County. Nope, not there neither. Well, okay, she could probably be the county clerk of Tel Aviv County in Israel, but she'd have to ride at the back of the women's only bus, again, in something approaching a beekeeper suit, to get to work. Sister Carol Baker has been slain in the spirit and has been taken over by the presence of Billy Madison. Pastor Brother Huxterby, what you've just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I've ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul. Sister Clark Kim Davis and her cloven hooves seems to be going over rather nicely. I know, Carol. She says, it's pretty sad when I'm relying on Adam Sandler for sage wisdom when dealing with Mike Huxterby. Oh, I know. Tim from L.A. with a question. So how would these Christians react if... So it's religious persecution if Kim Davis refuses to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. So if a Quaker employee denies a firearm permit to a right-wing Christian fundamentalist, or a Muslim denies a driver's license to a woman, would Huxterby come to the defense of these people? I doubt it. And neither of these people will deny licenses to anyone. Maybe that should happen in Round County. Deny gun permits and driver's licenses because of someone's religious belief. That's a lovely analogy, Tim, but the problem is it's not in the purview of the county clerk. One, there is no such thing as a gun permit in Kentucky Stan. Now, you might have to get a permit for concealed carry, but just to buy and own a firearm? And that's the correct pronunciation in Kentucky and generally in Appalachia. Firearm. It's almost only a one-syllable word, firearm. It sounds like a cyborg whose voter is stuck and can't say farm. Farm. You are not required to have a permit to purchase a firearm in Kentucky Stan. And as for the driver's licenses, well, that's done at the DMV. But dear God, don't give them any inspiration. They're liable to take that and run with it, Tim. And by the way, just for those of you comparing at home, $83,000 a year in Moorhead, Kentucky, is the equivalent of making about $206,000 a year in New York City. Hell, I bet you could probably actually live in Manhattan on that kind of money. No! Anyway, let's let Pastor, Brother, Governor, et cetera, Mike, finish what passes for a thought.
Or Kim Davis, you're very supportive of her. Why?
Because this is the criminalization of Christianity. What she did was follow the Kentucky Constitution voted on by 75% of the people. She has now been criminalized. She's being held without bail. I want you to think about this. Jeffrey Dahmer got bail. Albert
Oh, no! He didn't, but he dude. Then again, maybe. I mean, after all, every Sunday or once a month, I'm not sure how the apostolic holiness crowd does it. But, you know, she performs an act of ritual cannibalism. She eats a piece of off-brand saltine that's the body of Jesus Christ, and she takes a swig of, and I'm sure, this much I know, apostolic holiness, folks, ain't going to be using no actual wine. Because everybody knows when they say wine in the New Testament, what they mean is grape juice. And believe you me, they're not gonna drop the big cash for the Welch's. It'll be Sam's Choice grape juice. Hell, they're probably not that particular. It may just be grape juice cocktail, in which case the prime ingredient is water. And it just kind of turns into, oh wait, it's convenient, turns into wine. But anyway, once you get it, you know, over the lips and past the gums, look out stomach, here comes blood! Yeah, so she engages in ritual cannibalism, whereas Jeffrey Dahmer engaged in the real thing. But yeah, he did. Jeffrey Dahmer got bail.
Salvo, the Boston Strangler got
bail. Boston Strangler got bail? And you know what? Poor old Mike Huckabee was so proud of himself when he came up with all this. I mean, he felt better and shinier than Atticus Finch taking that bag of hickory nuts for working on Mr. Cunningham's entailment. And there he was, a rutting on my mailer.
Bail. John Wayne Gacy got bail.
This is turning into a Catskills comedy act. Never got a dinner. Meanwhile, Michael in Madison says, subject line, hypothetical county clerks. No need to go into any analogies over gun pits, permits, or driver's licenses. Let's stick to marriage. Coincidentally, I just posted this to Facebook minutes ago. When some county clerk somewhere refuses to issue marriage licenses to a couple of straight divorcees or refuses to file someone's divorce paperwork based on their personal religious convictions, will the right wing defend that person too? I have an answer! And call him or her a hero preserving the religious freedom of Christians? Or maybe some clerk somewhere doesn't think Baptists should marry Catholics because Jeebus! Can that nut refuse to issue marriage licenses too? Well, hell, let's extend that. And I mean, because if one constitutional ruling by the Supreme Court's on the table, well, by God, they are all on the table. Why shouldn't some county clerk somewhere refuse an interracial couple a marriage license? I mean, if an ignorant, undereducated, ordinary, right-wing, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, snake-handling, floor-rolling, tongue-speaking, strychnine-swigging Christian can deny a gay couple a marriage license, why in God's name can't they deny it to a black man and a white woman or a white man and a black woman? Hint, they can. It's just that no one would take that seriously anymore. Hell, the Supreme Court ruled that black folks got a right to vote in this country. Guess what else is on the table? Mm-hmm. Michael continues. I'm sorry, I was editorializing, Michael. Michael continues. Let's grease up this slippery slope and see if some fundamentalist weirdo is willing to slide on down. Said weirdo would probably land flat on their ass, though, without any support from the right-wing establishment. Oh, don't be so quick to judge. Because this isn't about religious freedom or the criminalization of Christianity. It's about knuckle-dragging doofuses who think to gaze is icky and freakish politicians pandering for the votes of these doofuses. Nothing more. Well, little issue. Because, see, I think deep down, and I take as my text in this, the Gospel of Duggar, I'm not sure they think it's so icky. Frankly, I think it turns a lot of them on. And maybe Sister, I mean, she's tried the marrying a man thing four times. Maybe she's afraid that if getting married and being gay at the same time is legal in Round County, she might find somebody she really loves and wants to spend all her life with. And then they'll just take that heavenly white out and paint right through her name in the Lamb's Book of Life. But Michael's right. It's about knuckle-dragging doofuses who think to gaze is icky and freakish politicians pandering for the votes of these doofuses. Nothing more. Certainly nothing noble. Certainly nothing Christian as defined by Christ's teachings. Amen, Michael and Madison. Amen. Except. And had I bothered to think about this, I could have actually predicted that this case would have arisen out of Tennessee, because Tennessee and Kentucky are in a constant state of rivalry. Football, basketball, barbecue, fried catfish, everything. Liquor. I mean, you got people out there that won't drink nothing but Jack Daniels from Lynchburg, Tennessee. Or if they's hard up, they might drink them some, who's that other feller? Dang it. And of course, no good Kentuckian would allow Jack Daniels to pass his or her lips. If it ain't bourbon, it ain't worth a pump. And Jack Daniels ain't no bourbon. That's Tennessee whiskey. Because, well, they'd be shots fired if Jack Daniels claimed that was bourbon. Yeah, yeah. So I could have told you this was going to come from Tennessee. And this is in answer to your question, because the goddess of irony is always paying attention, Michael and Madison. This is the story of Hamilton County, Tennessee Chancellor Jeffrey Atherton. And he is the chancellor for a place called Signal Mountain, Tennessee. And apparently in the state of Tennessee, in their legal process, if you want a divorce, you have to go before a chancellor. And we're not going to fool with where the idea of a chancellor comes from. It's ancient and English and legal, and it has to do with equity as opposed to law. And you ain't got time. Maybe Billable Rick can explain it and figure out a way to make a couple of tenths of an hour out of it. Later when we get to the Horn Malloy Skype chat group and the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Carol found this earlier today. Hamilton County Chancellor Jeffrey Atherton has denied a divorce petition in Tennessee. When's the last time you heard of a divorce being denied? I mean, for instance, down in Talibama, a little ways south of Tennessee. Where, as I reported a couple of weeks ago, the married to him 50 years spouse of Alabama Governor Robert Bentley has served divorce papers on him, and it's not because he suddenly wanted to get gay married. It's because he hired a cute little communications director, female, with whom he was caught in flagrante delicto, and that's a legal Latin term for bed. Oh, him and his communications director was just powerful fond of each other, and there they were, and there he was, a rutting on his Mayeller. And Mrs. Bentley found out about it, and she said, mm-mm. And in her divorce petition, she has asked for every piece of property the couple has acquired over the course of 50 years. Ooh, mother. I think he found his communications director in church, too, by the way, in case you're wondering. So it is almost impossible, downright unlikely, that Mr. and Mrs. Bentley's divorce is going to be denied by the court. But lucky for them, they do not live in Hamilton County, Tennessee, under the jurisdiction of Chancellor Jeffrey Atherton. Because sometimes weddings don't work out. Marriages don't work out. And for one couple, it didn't work there in Signal Mountain, Tennessee. And the two, and under the best of circumstances, divorce is not easy. Under the worst of circumstances, it is a yawning chasm straight into hell on earth. And lo and behold, because this is such a setup job. Hamilton County Chancellor Jeffrey Atherton heard from 7 witnesses and went through 77 exhibits and used the litigants before him as vehicles. There we go, riding on somebody's back again. As vehicles for his own weird, bigoted views on religion. Almost every state has some version of irreconcilable differences, where the two parties aver, and when they agree, it's a foregone conclusion, they're going to get a divorce. Where two parties agree that, you know, listen, this ain't working, we can't stand it, we can't do this anymore. And we have a general, and this is why divorce is legal in the United States, we have a general consensus that we don't want to force people to be together who do not wish to be together, because that often ends up in murder, which is the only crime for which one is not allowed to have bail. And thus, if pastor, brother, governor, etc., Mike Huckabee wants to keep hooting about Sister Clerk Kim Davis not getting bail, then we must only assume that she is somehow or another a murderer. And what she has tried to murder is constitutional governance in the United States of America. So there it is, 77 exhibits, seven witnesses. Whoa, isn't there a Bible verse where Jesus says something about 70 times 7? I don't think so. That's how many times you're supposed to forgive somebody. Now, this happened back last June, but it's just now kind of getting some notice because, well, Sister Clerk Kim Davis. And it was back in June, after the Supreme Court ruled on marriage equality and said that, hey, gay people get the 14th Amendment too. So he said he denied the divorce petition. He compelled these two people who, as civilly as they possibly can, in a brutally emotional transaction, are trying to separate each other from themselves, separate from each other. And Hamilton County Chancellor Jeffrey Atherton said, no way. Y'all going to stick together in the name of Jesus. And in particular, he said the gay marriage ruling throws and just listen to. For anybody who's got any experience reading lawyering, judging language, this is a tantrum. Listen to this. You listening, Rick? You listening, Steve? Listen. He said that, in fact, he commanded the Supreme Court of the United States, really he did, to define when a marriage is no longer a marriage. He said he had to do that because of the gay marriage ruling. This is an actual quote from his ruling. The conclusion reached by this court is that Tennesseans have been deemed by the U.S. Supreme Court to be incompetent to define and address such keystone central institutions as marriage, and thereby, at minimum, contested divorces. In other words, because the Supreme Court overruled these dumbass defense of marriage laws and defense of marriage amendments in various and sundry state constitutions, then apparently that took divorce with it too, even though it didn't. The Supreme Court's ruling had absolutely no impact whatsoever on divorce. But not according to Hamilton County Chancellor Jeffrey Atherton. Because he's, and this is a tantrum. Supreme Court done said we can't say who can get married and who can't get married, so that means we can't say who can get divorced and who can't say who can't get divorced. Butt hurt! And so you've got a couple, Thomas Baumgartner and Pamela Baumgartner. He's 65, she's 61. They got married in November of 2002. They have no kids. And they filed for divorce way back a year ago. And they said they have, there's the magic words, they both agreed they have irreconcilable differences. And Chancellor Atherton, after 4 days of testimony, said that their marriage was not irretrievably broken and that they could salvage their marriage in the name of Jesus. Meanwhile, even the lawyers are apparently afraid of him, because nobody will call this theocratic punk out. Chattanooga attorney Mike Richardson said, "I don't know for sure, but I suspect the U.S. Supreme Court did not intend to preempt divorce law." Regina Lambert, who had represented Tennessee plaintiffs in the Supreme Court case, she said, "Overall, Tennessee has had a fantastic response to the Supreme Court decision. He's just making a statement. I just think change is hard for people." Well, that's well and good, Regina. Change may be hard for people. I'm sure the change for humanity from hunter-gatherer to sedentary society, that was probably hard for people. The change from pre-literate to literate, from memory-based storytelling and retention to writing stuff down, it's hard for people. Tell us another story, Grandpa. Well, no, I can't. You'll have to get your daddy to read it to you. I ain't got that newfangled reading and writing down yet, which is probably also the case for Chancellor Atherton. But no, he wrote his order out, probably on the back of the Shoney Bear coloring mat with some of the free crayons you get there. Oh, never mind. Meanwhile, Penny White, a former member of the Tennessee Supreme Court, she's now a professor of law at the University of Tennessee College of Law. She said, state court judges, regardless of their personal points of view, must defer to the Supreme Court's constitutional interpretation. Well, that's well and good, but how do you make them do it? As that famous Tennessean and genocidalist Andrew Jackson once noted, Judge Marshall has made his order, now let him enforce it. And I think Judge Bunning took the right tack. He ignored the plaintiffs in the case who said, please don't put her in jail, just fine her. Of Sister Court Kim Davis. And he said, no, fines aren't going to work because they're just going to raise it up from the believe. They're just going to shear the believing sheeple for it. Yeah. So this will have to go up through, and this imposes a horrible burden on the plaintiffs. They reached out to, the Times Free Press did, they reached out to Chancellor Atherton for comment, and he said, I don't want extraneous conversation. I'll have to stick with the words of the order. So they either have to, apparently, the Bumgardners have to file for divorce again. When they asked Atherton what the couple could do, he said, well, hopefully they can reconcile. And what happens if Mrs. Bumgardner winds up dead in a pool of her own blood some Sunday morning? Chancellor Atherton, what happens then? Well, how could I possibly know that he would be a murderer? See? It is a horrible burden that this man's religiously bizarre conduct has imposed on a pair of reasonably innocent civil litigants. Again, there are no crimes charged here. They're either going to have to go to the monumental cost of appealing his order upwards through the Tennessee court system, or they will have to refile and hope it doesn't get heard by Judge Atherton. Isn't that just charming? Judge Atherton desperately needs, one suspects, to maybe share a little cell space with Sister Clerk Kim Davis. regarding our conversation a little bit ago about the hows, whys, and wherefores of getting communion there in your Apostolic Holiness Church. Haley there in Arkansas says, you know, the hashtag Apostolic Communion kind of sounds like some 90s death metal band. It does. really and for truly it does. So let's finish up with Pastor Brother Governor Mike Huckabee and see if he's got just a little bit of stupid left for us.
Kim Davis, because she followed her convictions, is put in jail and is not given bail. This is an unbelievable moment in American history, and I think it may wake people
except
up.
It's not.
Who's next? Are pastors next? Florists? Caterers? Who else goes to jail before this is over? And the Supreme Court reached out into thin air and created a redefinition of marriage. There is no authorization from the Congress. The president has never signed a bill that enabled this idea of same-sex marriage.
In other words, he is completely baffled by the fact that the Supreme Court is acting in the same fashion that the Supreme Court has acted in since Marbury versus Madison, which is really the heart and soul of his argument.
And I think it's interesting, in Tennessee yesterday, there was a judge that dismissed a divorce case. He said, if the court doesn't think that...
And see, what were you asking about there, Michael? Yeah. Let's find out how Pastor Brother etc. Huckabee is gonna twist this into some sort of sick little bit of psychosis.
People of Tennessee are smart enough to know when a marriage starts and what it looks like. Then I guess the court doesn't give us enough sense to know how to end one. So he dismissed the divorce case. The implications of this are extraordinarily far-reaching, and that's why we're going to be in Kentucky on Tuesday, 3 o'clock, to rally for Kim Davis and to rally for religious liberty.
And to try to raise a few bucks. Don't forget to raise a few bucks. I mean, what a hustle! Somewhere, P.T. Barnum is sitting around, or not, going, God, this guy's got me beat all to thunderation. I thought I was a pro. He's raising money for himself and getting richer for himself by running for president. And now he's going to heap a bunch of religious flim-flammery on top of that and make more money. This way to the egress, my ass! This goes on for another 4 or 5 minutes or so, and frankly, I don't have the belly for it. And I'm sorry if I'm acting like this is the only story out there. Of course it isn't. But I see this as gravely important. This isn't some stupid human interest story. And with all respect to the folks who want to get married, this isn't just an issue about being gay and whether you can get married. This question actually brings into play whether or not we are going to have constitutional governance in this country. Because one may freely choose the religious tenets to which one wishes to adhere. All of them, none of them, some of them. And that is absolutely carved in stone, guaranteed under the First Amendment. But central to that is the idea that you've got to have the Constitution in order for the previous to be true. They can hoot and holler all they want about how a higher law controls our moral universe, etc. But the problem lies in the enforcement. The only people who can enforce religious law are religious officials. And this, and that's what we're talking about here, is religious law. I mean, Baptist ministers won't even reconsecrate a marriage between someone who was married before and someone who wasn't. You know how people like to renew their vows at 10, 20, 30, whatever years? Baptist minister won't do that. I know that for a fact. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I hope I'm wrong. But if this country winds up crumbling, historians will look back on this and say this was part of the beginning of it. Because you've got a noisy, vocal, drop dead dirt dumb bunch of people who have decided that they will decide which parts of the Constitution the rest of us live under, and which parts will be cast aside in favor of their religiously driven determinations. See, Kim Davis isn't just speaking for herself or for the Apostolic Holiness faith. She presumes to speak for Jesus Christ. And that means she's speaking for the Roman Catholics and the Episcopals and the Lutherans and the Presbyterians and the non-denominational emotional churches that have lots of money and big auditoriums and sound systems that would make KISS weep in envy. She's speaking for all of Christianity. And the rest of Christianity that disagrees with her, United Churches of Christ, etc., I can't find where they're saying, nope, this woman's a heretic. This woman is no Christian. This woman is not a follower of the Prince of Peace. She is as damned as any heathen. And that's a problem. So that's why I keep talking. Because it has next to nothing to do with marriage and everything to do with whether or not we're going to have a continuation of constitutional government and civil society. And so we will be going in short order to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Fire it up there, Sparky. You can join in the Horn Malloy Skype chat group if you so choose. It's very easy. Send a contact request to Sparky Dunk on Skype. If you cannot use Skype, if you cannot figure out Skype, if you are confused by Skype, baffled by Skype, or if by some physical limitation you are unable to use Skype, well, we've got the stress line for you here, and you can come in via that. 304-663-4676, 304-663-HORN. Okay? And we've made some progress on fundraising this evening. We've got $238.47 to go. $238.47. And I mention also that the equipment fund is still open. If you want to participate in the equipment fund, just put that note in your contribution. But the general fundraising for keeping things going here is at $238.47. Okie doke. Okie doke. $23.84 for 10 people, 23.84 people at $10. $238.47. This is Conversation Radio, Friday on the Front Porch. The Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable is about to begin. I'm Bob Kincaid.
She used to rock and roll. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll.
This is for you, Sister Clerk, Kim Davis, cooling your heels. Nick Lowe, I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll, and apparently, seeing as how she only found Jesus 4 years ago or so, that may very well apply to Sister Clerk Kim Davis. And as Robert in Morgantown points out, all is trouble because of 23 votes. That is all that Sister Clark Kim Davis won her primary by. 23 stinking votes. The 23 good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, evangelical fundamentalists down to the down to the Moorhead Apostolic Holiness Tabernacle and Herpetological Sanctuary. Yep, you betcha. Like I said, it's Friday on the front porch and time to fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Let's go right over. And by the way, thanks to Carol for chipping in on the equipment fund. Thank you very much. Hey, Sparky. Wrong button. Sorry. Time out. Let's do that again. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, bud.
How in the world are you?
That was some awful good chair dancing music you just played.
Wasn't that some excellent chair dancing music?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Lord don't approve of dancing.
Did you ever get your chair fixed, by the way?
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah.
Did that help you that
all? Oh, yeah, it worked.
Good. Because I hate to see with the chair that didn't have a hydraulic. Your hydraulic business.
No, I felt like I was at the kiddie table for a while, Sparky.
Say, on those NASCAR tickets?
Yeah.
So, if there's somebody out there that can't afford them, I'll buy them the tickets and give them away.
Really? Wow.
Pastor Pillar lives down in Columbia.
That's true.
He's not too far.
Yeah, about how far? Yeah, I wonder. Reckon how far Darlington is from Columbia there in South Carolina, Stan.
Yeah, I was looking at a map earlier because I was instant messaging with Lib in South Carolina. And I was looking at a map. It doesn't look too far from Columbia. But Lib said it'd take him about 4 hours, and Cass had already offered him the tickets. But
okay.
he's been looking for people. Hadn't found anybody who would want to take him yet, though.
Not yet.
So that's my story, the Horn family commune thing. And the other thing I wanted to bring up, did you see the lawyer for, what's her name, came out today and said that she said that all of those marriage licenses were void because she didn't sign them.
Yeah, see, no, that's not true.
Yeah, well, Rick already told us earlier, a couple hours ago, billable Rick. He's busy billing hours.
Is he billing now? Okay.
Yeah, so he'll jump in when he wants to jump in, I guess. But he said it was bullshit.
Well, it pretty much is. Beyond pointing out the fact that legal reasoning is roughly the equivalent of bovine excrement, did he offer any whys and wherefores?
No, the only thing I can think of is once you get that county seal on there, it makes it legal, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you know what? Here's a little secret. Sister Clark Kim Davis doesn't sign everything there. Her deputies, and that's why they're deputies, you know, sworn, hand in the air, all of that. Her deputies are legally empowered to sign her name. And it happens all the time. I mean, if you come in and you pay a recording fee for a deed,
mm-hmm.
Okay, well, on the receipt, they're going to sign because she is the official clerk, and so on the receipt for your recording fee on your deed, it's going to have Sister Clerk Kim Davis signed on it. But odds are, because Sister Clerk Kim Davis is the exalted mucky muck clerk making $83,000 a year, she ain't going to sign it. She's back in her office doing clerky things, and one of her $22,000 a year deputies is going to sign it instead.
Well, I thought we just used a stamp with her signature and everything.
Well, I mean,
a signature, because I remember when I got my marriage license in Nevada County in California, I mean, they just... Because I know it wasn't the county clerk that did it. It was just somebody working the desk. They just stamp it with a seal of Nevada County and probably has a, the ink stamp has the signature right on it.
Right, but well, I mean, you can do that too, but because they are sworn deputies, they can also they can also sign her name. And so that lawyer's argument's pathetic. And you know what? If there's one more good thing that could come out of this stupid case, Sparky, it is if that federal judge would sanction those goddamned Liberty Bobby lawyers, Matt Staver and that whole filthy bunch, if he would sanction them back into the Stone Age. And if Rick wasn't out being billable right now, and maybe Steve could opine in New York, a judge has the power to sanction a lawyer for doing things that deliberately and intentionally and for purposes only of delay and harassment torment the system and torment litigants. And so it's not outside. I mean, remember, Judge Bunning, even though he's a W appointee, Judge Bunning is a federal judge cloaked with all the power of Article 3 of the Constitution of the United States. And within the meaning of the rules of federal civil procedure, he can drop sanctions on those Liberty Lobby clowns that'll put them out of business. And they desperately need to be put out of business. Now, I'm not saying that because, you know, I hate Liberty Counsel. I'm saying that because their only purpose in life is to make, and they make them all over the country, these bogus claims of religious persecution that are geared toward nothing more than trying to destroy constitutional government in the United States of America. And it has to stop somewhere. I mean, does that make sense?
Yes. Larry, can you hear us?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Okay.
Now I'm going to mute.
Okay.
And by the way, before I get to the rest of the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable in the Horn Malloy Skype chat group, let's say good evening to Jim in Nevada Stan. Are you there, Jim? Oh, well, hang on, Jim. Wait a minute. You never know when these things are going to happen.
Throw the third switch.
Nah, third switch is thrown. We're paired, not everything. Are you there, Jim? Because I've got him here. Jim's just doing everything but talking. Okay. Well, okay, so when we get Jim, we'll hear from Jim. Tim from L.A. is also with us. Are you there, Tim?
Yes, I'm here, Bob.
Hot diggity. So, Does the legal gobbledygook that I've been going through, I mean, does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Also, there was a quote that I posted in the room that Rick said.
To wit, because I'm not necessarily looking at the room.
Regarding Matthew Staver, he said he's full of shit. The marriage license issued today are valid. If Staver isn't careful, he can find himself in jail along with his client for conspiracy or obstruction of the court's lawful contempt order against Ms. Davis. And he further said, if Staver counsels other members of the county registrar to not issue marriage licenses by closing the office early, doing a sick out, etc., he has violated the judge's contempt of order, so he could be jailed.
Now in Staver's case, I don't necessarily want him cooling his heels. I want him fined. But the thing is, he can also be sanctioned under, I'm not sure if it's the same number in the federal rules of civil procedure, but I think it is Rule 11. You know, filing, for lack of a better term, and to work colloquially, for filing bullshit claims, for filing bullshit allegations, filing bullshit pleadings. because there's not an argument, because Rule 11 compels lawyers signing pleadings to make their arguments in good faith, and there is not the liberty lobby council whatever asses have not made a single good faith argument in this entire proceeding. Not one.
So he can still go on the radio or TV and lie all he wants then?
There's a different set of rules that deal with lawyers and publicity.
Oh. Like, what was it? She can't have bail, or what's that other thing that he said?
You're talking about Huckstery? Huckstery's not a lawyer, so he's not subject to any of this.
But if he were to say something like that, or she's being persecuted for religious belief, yada, yada, yada. If he were to say something like that, then he could get in trouble for that.
If the lawyer did, and what's probably happening here, or at least it's what looks like is happening by my lights, is that the Liberty Council theocrats are quietly orchestrating the response to this, and they're feeding, because Mike Huckstery is not smart enough to come up with the no bail BS.
Hello?
On his own. So what Liberty Council are doing is they're feeding this crap quietly, surreptitiously to their mouthpieces, who can't be hailed before the court to answer for being a filthy
hello?
Gang of liars. Hello, who's helloing? Is that you, Steve?
How do I get this?
Yeah, there you are, Steve. Oh, Steve. Well, maybe we can hear Steve, but maybe Steve can't hear us.
It takes a while for it to pot up or whatever it's called. Like you said, though.
I added him because he was trying to call me.
Oh, yeah, here I am. I'm sorry, I don't know how to use the new Skype.
Well, can you hear us now?
Well, you're,
I can hear you guys now.
Yeah, you're using it quite appropriately. You're using it quite appropriately now, Steve.
Oh, okay. I was getting ready to walk into the subway because I'm just leaving work, but I wanted to. I hate the word opine because it sounds so lawyerish. So I'll say. Opine. And Bob is largely right. What this is something called a Rule 11 sanction, which is under the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure. It's very difficult to do, and while any normal person might think that what they're doing here is frivolous, the court will get into an inquiry about what exactly is frivolous, and frivolous means that you have no good faith basis basically for anything. It would be very difficult for a court to say you don't really believe this and get to that inquiry and getting into the weeds there. And the other issue is that what they are essentially doing is asking for what amounts to was an overturning of the law. And you're typically not allowed to bring lawsuits that are in contrary to the law. Or if you're trying to overturn the law, that's probably where they would, could get in or get under the frivolous standard and have it not be frivolous.
I kind of took that into consideration, Steve.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is, if you compare that with other arguments that one of these hucksters might make, and let's understand, these aren't lawyers, these are hucksters, okay? These are people who are abusing the legal process. But let's say that Liberty Counsel, let's work with what Michael and Madison was talking about for a minute. And what I was talking about because of what Michael talked about. Let's say that an interracial couple walks into a clerk's office somewhere in Bone Lick, Tennessee, and they want a marriage license. And the clerk there says, my religious liberty prevents me from giving a marriage license to you two because it says right there in Genesis that God done put the mark of the, put his mark upon the children of Ham and that you are to be subservient to white folks for the rest of your lives. And seeing as you are a black male, and then, you know, women are to be subservient to men, and I refuse to give you a license. Any lawyer that went in and made that argument on their behalf in a courtroom would probably get sanctioned because it is absolutely unchallengeable that Loving versus Virginia is and has been the law of this land since, what, 1968?
I think 73 is when the court, when the case came down from the Supreme Court.
I thought it was the 60s, but the point there is that there is no good faith argument. It's all race based, and there's no good faith argument to be made. And so the court would be completely within its rights to bounce that lawyer like a goddamn handball and smack him right into the wall.
Right. I think you're absolutely right. I think maybe what it comes down to is that, you know, I'm not saying that, and I don't want to incur the angry Indian's wrath, but perhaps at least it's less appropriate for someone to be racially or discriminate based upon race than still is to discriminate against gay folk. Maybe it's still okay. I think that's probably what it comes down to. So I think you're probably right, Bob. And I'm thinking about, you know, from Orly Tates, it's kind of that same thing where she was bringing those silly suits and the judges.
And the judge finally said enough.
Yeah, enough. Yeah. It's just, you know, what it comes down to is it's discretionary. And I kind of get where this judge is coming from. And on a completely other note, I have to actually kind of commend this judge. Because, you know, and I think you...
Oh, he's showing real restraint.
Yes. And then, you know, when he said to them, he says, look, I'm Catholic and I'm an observant Catholic. But, you know, I took an oath. And, you know, that's something else that I've been thinking about along this. And I haven't seen anybody say is I suspect when she became clerk, she took an oath to uphold the Constitution. And I don't see anybody looking and seeing what the oath down there in Kentucky says, but I have a feeling that that's part of it. And again, it just could be that I refuse to watch the news about this because it's silly. Maybe silly is not the word. It's just, you know, I've had arguments with, you know, me being Catholic. I do have friends of mine who are rather conservative on the Catholic side. I frankly don't get it. And to say that somebody made a comment that, well, they don't force people to do abortions. And I was like, really? You see two people getting a marriage license the same as an abortion, number one. Number two, you're right. No one forces anyone to do abortions because the government doesn't pay for abortions. And the odd thing I find about this is that people can't see that she's not, you know, whatever, what is her name? She's not Kim Davis, private citizen here who doesn't want people in her house. She's Kim Davis, representative of the government here. And I don't understand how people can't see that when you represent the government, you know, to a certain extent, you check your personal beliefs at the door. You don't have the right to essentially deny those people the privileges and rights under the law, whereas grant it to those, you don't, that's not your prerogative to do that.
And also central to all of this, Steve, is the difference between personal and public religion.
Right.
If we had a state religion here, then this issue would probably not even exist. But we have a constitution that has no mention whatsoever of any form of deity at all. Um, And as a consequence, we divide we put religion in the personal space and civil society in the secular space.
Right. You know, Bob, I'll be honest with you. The whole thing baffles me. And the other thing that baffles me is, you know, there's the stuff in Romans about, you know, and I think someone mentioned this the other night.
Yeah, I forgot who said it to me, but yeah, I actually read from it. It's from like Romans 13. Yeah.
13, or what about render unto Caesar that? And I'm thinking, look, I have plenty of things that I don't agree with in terms of this person or that person. But you know, and the example that I came up with is, you know, with all my right wing Catholic friends was, what would you say about a Jehovah's Witness cop who got a call at a robbery at a Catholic church and said, I'm not going in there because they're a bunch of, you know, Mary worship and whatever. I mean, you know, I'm always cautious of the whole slippery slope argument, but this seems to be one of those things where it makes perfect logical sense that you can say, okay, well, where does it stop? At what point, you know, like you said, well, what if a person says, my religion tells me that we shouldn't have race mixing, or my religion tells me this, or my religion tells me that. And the other thing, I have to tell you, when I listen to Huckabee speak, I had my headphones on. I was still working on something, and I heard his voice, and I couldn't listen. I just find every time I hear that guy, I think back to first century Palestine. I'm like, you know what? That right there is a Pharisee.
Well, sure.
And he just is so putrid. He's so disgusting. He's just, when I hear this stuff, and I know I'm rambling on here, when I hear the stuff about Christians being persecuted, I'm like, where do you live? I don't get it. I don't get it. We got the president as a Christian. Well, no, he's actually really a Kenyan Muslim Christian socialist fascist and whatever. You have everybody on the Supreme Court who is either Christian or Jewish. What percentage of people in the Congress are Christian? And I just think you have these people in Congress talking about how put upon they are, and it's like, you're the ones in power, for God's sake. What are you talking? And then I channel my inner Bob Kincaid and go, ah, money.
Well, sure, that's money. All any of this is.
That's all any of this is, and that's what really disgusts me. And I feel like, you know what, Kim Davis, where were you protesting about us killing a million people in Iraq and all that crap? And
well, if you want to go that far back, that's before she found Jeebus, and she's probably liquored up in some hellhole honky tonk in Moorhead.
Moorhead, of course. Pun intended.
Oh, ain't no pun.
One last thing I'll say, then I'll shut up. The people I was arguing with, I made a comment about something, and my friend remarks to me, says, that's not very Christian of you to say. I said, you know what? I don't identify myself as a Christian with those people, because I don't identify myself as Christian anymore. I don't want to be associated with those people. I worry about living my life how I think it's supposed to be, and I take the St. Francis approaches, preach often, use words if necessary.
Yeah, right. Well, that's so true. So true.
Well, I'm going to shut up here. I'm tired. I've worked about 50 hours this week.
Are you billable Steve like Rick is billable Rick?
Well, here's the deal. I'm working for the city of New York on a contract, so it's not billable. But sometimes the hours get exceedingly long, particularly when you're dealing with litigation and stuff like that. So that's kind of where it's been this week. In addition to, and I know I'm not supposed to do this because the city tried they try to tell me I can't have work outside of there, but I tell them to go fuck themselves, excuse me. And I'm in the middle of building my own practice and doing all kinds of stuff, and it's just, I'm exhausted. But I always catch the horn because I have to tell you, you know, I've sent a lot of emails to you, Bob, about this. These people here have been, you know, I've had times I'm like, I just need to hear somebody's voice, and it's always good to hear. So all the people on here, I love hearing from all of you. And I have to say one last thing, then I'll pop off here, is I really, really, really miss old Mr. Stress. You know, I loved hearing him talk about this stuff, and that guy had a knowledge about history that I don't know.
Oh, Bill would be having Bill would be having a poop hemorrhage over this story.
Yes. Yes, I would. I miss the hell out of Bill, and I know I'm not alone in that.
And you know, actually, I never got to the story, and I know you got to go, Steve, but just one second here. I never got to the story. I had it on the in the More and Monday stack, but I thought immediately of Bill when that story broke about the hell that Chrissy Hynde was catching for having said that women have to bear some responsibility for how they were dressed when they get raped. And I think Bill was cremated. I know Bill was cremated, but I'm quite surprised that his ashes did not reconstitute themselves the minute that story broke. Because he had a long history of respecting her music, but not thinking of much of her as a person. Going back to the time that Chrissy Hynde explained to him that that he, Bill's sister's ovarian cancer, was all in her mind. So
you know what, Bob? Not much leaves me speechless. You just did it.
And he said I was not prone to hitting women, and I was ready to just clock her right in the face.
Which, of course, would have been her imagination.
Well, you know. That's how that goes. Well, listen, I hope you have a wonderful weekend, Steve, and thanks for putting the challenge on the table. You just knocked the fundraising to, oh, my God, I got to do this.
And I actually just PayPal'd the rest of it, so.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, in any event, I'm going to step
You just knocked it down to $213.37.
Well, good. Listen, love you all. Have a wonderful three-day weekend, and I'll see you on the other side of next week or next Monday.
Good night, Steve.
Have a wonderful weekend, Steve. Thanks, and thanks for your thanks for your help.
Good night.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye now. And that's our buddy Steve in New York City with a little, well, I mean, he's a real live, honest-to-goodness practicing no-kidding lawyer. And also, by the way, I got to say good evening to Jeffrey. Jeffrey is up late, joining us from the Netherlands. It's awfully good to have you here, Jeffrey.
Hi, Bob. Hi, everybody.
So does all of this stuff that we've been talking, does it just kind of make your eyes roll considering what we go through here in the U.S.?
Yes, it's very, 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 very bad, very sad. It's not positive in any way.
And so, I mean, how much, news from the U.S. actually, makes it into the papers or the newscasts or whatever there in the Netherlands. I mean, do people know this about this stupidity?
No, they don't. To be honest, they filter it. I guess they make it more edible. they don't take sides. I guess so. I don't know what the English word for it is, but they don't take sides. They just make it as objective as possible.
Well, in some ways, I suppose that's a blessing, isn't it?
Yes, I guess so. And also, some news gets edited, and some news gets, how do you call it? Put into another news segment. When they go into it more deeper and more relevant.
Yeah, indeed. By the way, Irish Dave pointing out, guess who else didn't get bail? Jesus. Right. Yeah. Also, our buddy Ray down in Florida says, subject line Davis, this Kathy Bates in misery looking bitch will end up with a lot of money, become a right-wing hero, and probably get a job on Fox. I'm trying to pretend her 15 minutes that has just begun is over. And I understand, Ray. And it is kind of nice to know that, she's not going to be able to have a GoFundMe campaign. There's at least some decency in that. And by the way, I've been looking all over to find the Kentucky clerk's oath, and for some reason or another, no luck so far. But I got to share this with you guys. This just came in from our buddy, our lawn mowing buddy, Dennis, down in Kentucky. Where, of course, I'm sure this story is consuming all other, it sucked all the oxygen out of the news cycle. Dennis sent this along, and I got a feeling we've got a little more grass to mow down that way before the mower gets put away. But Rex W. Hupke, a reporter, wrote this, and the title of it is McDonald's all-day breakfast is an abomination. McDonald's has announced that it will introduce all-day breakfast nationwide October 6th, 2015. McDonald's all-day breakfast is an abomination to those who believe in traditional breakfast. McDonald's, the company that invented calories, has shocked the world by announcing that on October 6th, its restaurants will start serving breakfast all day long. That decision is, of course, an abomination. Like many Americans, I believe in traditional breakfast, served deliciously until 10:30 a.m. as God and later Ronald McDonald intended. After that time, it's unnatural to eat eggs, hash browns, or anything that has been McGriddled or hotcaked. For proof, look no further than the Bible, Exodus 16:12, which says, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. McDonald's will roll out an all-day breakfast menu on October 6th, meeting long-standing requests from customers as part of Chief Executive Officer Steve Easterbrook's turnaround plan, September 2nd, 2015. In the morning, you will be filled with bread. Meat comes later, with the obvious exception of bacon and sausage, of course. Sometimes you have to read between the lines. That biblical verse makes it clear that breakfast and dinner are separate, and I'd sooner starve than violate my deeply held religious beliefs by consuming a post-10:30 a.m. McMuffin. I realize my opinion might seem old-fashioned in an anything-goes age when most young people think it's A-OK to eat a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit 4 p.m. A Tribune report on the company's breakfast announcement noted that McDonald's consumers and shareholders have clamored for it for years. Leanne Richards, an Arizona franchisee who led a task force that studied the all-day breakfast concept, said, "It's nice when you can give people what they want, what they've been asking for." Maybe it's nice for you, Leanne Richards of Arizona, but my beliefs cannot be swayed by public opinion, and they certainly won't be changed by Big Burger's cavalier redefinition of breakfast or by human belief in the separation of church and state. The question is, will people of faith, the ones charged with serving scrambled eggs at immoral hours, stand up to this assault on religious liberty? I have hoped that they might, thanks to the actions of Kim Davis, a county clerk in Kentucky, who has refused to issue same-sex marriage licenses despite the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling that makes issuing same-sex marriage licenses part of her job description. On Tuesday, Davis defied a federal court order and again denied a marriage license to a gay couple, saying she works under God's authority. "It's not a light issue for me," Davis said through her lawyers. "It's a heaven or hell decision." Davis feels so strongly about the sanctity of heterosexual marriage that she has had several of them herself, much in the same way my feelings about the sanctity of breakfast have led me to have several morning meals at McDonald's. A U.S. News and World Report story on the clerk's past found that she has been divorced three times, first in 1994, then in 2006, and again in 2008, and gave birth to twins 5 months after divorcing her first husband. The twins were fathered by her third husband, but adopted by her second. It's clear Davis and I are both reading the same Bible, the one that contains commandments that include, thou shalt find ways to make the word of God all about you, thou shalt not eat breakfast after 10:30 a.m., thou shalt conceive children with a man who is not thy husband while still married, thou shalt be divorced repeatedly, and of course, thou shalt not recognize hypocrisy. Whatever the result, and this was written before her appearance before Judge Bunning, whatever the result, I hope Davis's resilient belief that marriage is between a man and a woman will inspire McDonald's workers who share my belief that a breakfast is between 5 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. And I hope those workers will stand strong and refuse to issue Egg McMuffins to customers outside of traditional breakfast hours. It would not be the easy thing to do. It would not, from an employment standpoint, be the right thing to do. It might lead people standing in line to say, hey, stop being a butt and give me my sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddle. I'm not going to make you eat it. I just need you to literally hand it to me. And then, if it is actually a sin to eat this thing at 7:30 at night, which it most definitely is not, God will punish me, not you. Now, seriously, give me my McGriddle. You must stay strong, McDonald's workers. Let Kentucky's most famous county clerk be your inspiration. And remember this other verse from the Bible. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. On second thought, forget that one. Just believe that your religious convictions trump everyone else's rights, and don't give anybody breakfast after 10:30 a.m.
Amen, Bob.
Amen, Brother Jim. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I just wanted to just jump in. I think I had my phone on mute, but the thing is, just, as you know, my father was a lawyer, district attorney for 12 years while he's perished, and a judge on the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals for about 17 years or something like that before he died. This would kind of, you know.
Would this have him running rabbits in the front yard hooting like a barn owl?
What's that?
Would this have your daddy running rabbits in the yard while hooting it like a barn owl?
I think he's probably doing cartwheels in his tomb right now. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, as you know, I'm an atheist, and, you know, my dad, I mean, when I was about I never saw him in church. I never went to church. My mother would drag us to church once in a while, and we'd go to Bible school once, you know, for 2 weeks. You know, but when I was about 17 or 18, I asked him, Dad, what do you think happens when you die? Then he just looked at me and said, you know, in his very dry, stoic way, nothing, you did. You know, just, and then preach or proselytize to me. And at that time, I was getting into, you know, my Eastern philosophy, Buddhism phase, and he never criticized or critiqued that. And, but, you know, I think he's kind of like, as far as like religion, if that's what you want to believe, go ahead, but it has no place, you know, separation of church and state is basically exactly where he would come down. And to me, it's so plain and obvious that this is what should be. And I'm very proud of this judge for doing that, especially considering that.
That he's a dim leader appointment?
The state he's in, yeah. I think he would be, you know, right on, and he would think this lady's crazy, you know.
But see, you identified something there. You mentioned separation of church and state, Jim. And that's, see, these evangelical fundamentalists are at odds with that very concept. If you ask one of them, including pastor, brother, governor, reverend, presidential candidate, diabetes, snake oil, cure salesman, Mike Huckstermey, he will tell you there is no such thing as separation of church and state. He will tell you that everybody is supposed to be a Christian, you're just free as to what kind of Christian you prefer to be. It's okay to be a Quaker, or a Baptist, or a Presbyterian. It's not okay to be an atheist or a Muslim, and we can have all the little nativity scenes on courthouse lawns we want.
The craziest thing about that, Bob, is the reason one of the reasons, from what I understand, and I think I've got it from your show, a little bit from Tom Hartman's show, a little bit from Molloy's show, is the main reason for that is because founding fathers, flawed as they were, one thing they did know or notice through history in previous two, three centuries before the founding of this country was that all the crap that came from religions, you know, the rise of Protestantism and all, you know, and if you were in a city that all of a sudden went Protestant, you were Catholic, you know, you were shit out of luck or vice versa. You know, and I think they knew that, and they saw that. That's why they put that in that proviso, or, well, there shall be no establishment of religion. And yet, it's basically what they're doing, you know. And I'm not a lawyer. I don't play one on TV. But to me, that seems exactly what they're doing and what she's trying to do with her little prison stint, you know, or prison jail.
What else could we call it? Her prison hustle. And by the way, you'll get a kick out of this. The Twitter has since they launched the hashtag Free Kim Davis. Twitter has been having a blast with that. One person said, "Don't fall for the scam, people. They say Free Kim Davis. But if you read the fine print, it's only if you buy one of equal or greater cost."
Well, and not only that, I mean, she's a believer in the sky spook magic, abracadabra. She, you know, when she gets to heaven, which I'm sure she's headed for, she's going to hit the Las Vegas version of megabucks in heaven for what she's doing, if she really believes all that crap.
Yeah, but which husband will she be married to in heaven?
I know, that's so... I always wondered that. It's like my mom's a hardcore... Yeah, she's a Catholic. She discovered Catholicism. And she's got two dead husbands. I almost feel like ask her, well, Mom, who do you spend? Well, actually, that's already been solved. Dad's not going to be there because he was an atheist, and so he's going to be in hell. So I guess maybe Don, her second husband.
Not only in Appalachia, but it's just a perfect plot twist. The whole business that she gets married and divorced. Then she marries husband number two. No, she gets married and divorced. No, she gets married to husband number one. See how confusing it is? She gets married to husband number one, gets pregnant and has twins by husband number two, marries husband number three, and goes back and remarries husband number two. So I'm not sure if she's on husband three or husband four, or maybe five. God Almighty may not be able to work out this math.
I think maybe there is maybe a number five somewhere in the offing. And also, I just want to throw in, after the show, I'm going to contribute $26.66. So throw that into your siphon before the holiday.
I mean, you can get lost in this stuff in a real quickie. Oh, and by the way, courtesy of both Sparky and Irish Dave, we now have the Kentucky Oath of Office. And on Sparky's behalf, Tim sent it along. You're going to love this. This is really the oath of office she took. You might want to get the hockey puck out. And a little, you know, just a dab of duct tape on each corner. So you've just been elected because you won your primary by 23 stinking votes. But you've been elected in November. And so on January 1st, you're taking the oath of office and you say, I do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of this Commonwealth, being Kentucky. Notice that the Constitution of the United States comes first because it trumps state constitutions. For instance, as I noted the other night, the Emancipation Proclamation did not affect slave owners in Kentucky. And Kentucky probably had a constitutional provision saying slavery is the natural and right, blah, 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 you know, the usual hateful crap. And when the 13th Amendment was passed, it became a nullity. It became something that didn't exist and never had. So, first of all, we have an acknowledgement in the oath that she took that the Constitution of the United States comes first. God ain't in the oath anywhere, so I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of this Commonwealth, comma, and be faithful and true to the Commonwealth of Kentucky, so long as I continue a citizen thereof, comma, still no God, and that I will faithfully execute, comma, still no God, and faithfully modifies execute, because it's an adverb, and execute is a verb, and it has no reference to religion, to the best of my ability, the office of clerk of Round County, Kentucky, according to law, semicolon. And here's where it gets fun. All the way up into 2015, apparently, because I guess Kentuckians can be cantankerous, and I do further solemnly swear that since the adoption of the present Constitution, during which time no one in Kentucky is still alive, I added that part. I, being a citizen of this state, have not fought a duel with deadly weapons within this state, nor out of it, nor have I sent or accepted a challenge to fight a duel with deadly weapons, nor have I acted as second in carrying a challenge, nor aided or assisted any person thus offending, so help me. And there he is, God. Of course, if you're not swearing but you're affirming, you can leave God out.
Right. And that reminds me of the time, one time I got called to jury duty in Vegas, of course, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, whatever. And I was, and they swore, and when they swore us in, they said, so help you God, and I just let it slide. I was pretty much jacked that I'm an atheist, I'll affirm or avow, but I didn't go there. The interesting thing was, even out here in Las Vegas, somebody recognized my name and was asking, because when they were questioning us to see who was going to be on the jury, and they asked, well, you know, Garrett, that's kind of a famous name in Louisiana. I go, well, yeah, that was my dad. He saw the Kennedy assassination. I had to squeeze that in. But once they found out that I knew a little bit about the law and stuff, and that I've been taking some paralegal courses, I've taken other courses in college, I was pretty much summarily excused from jury duty. Do you find that's, I mean, I know you practice law a little bit. I mean, is that what a lawyer generally wants, somebody they can shape and mold?
No, a lawyer wants an idiot on the jury.
Yeah.
And what they were afraid of is that because you were Jim Garrison's son, that you might not be an idiot.
Well, that's a little bit for debate, but yeah, I appreciate that. Now, I understand what you're saying.
But like the business with that oath of office, I love this. The Kentucky being Kentucky, they still have to worry about whether people are dueling, but then there's a substrate to that as well, because they hedge their bets in the oath, you know, that I have not fought a duel with deadly weapons, which lets out, apparently in Kentucky you can still duel by brawling in the dirt. You know, fisticuffs and kicking and biting and scratching and poking and gouging and that kind of thing. You can still do that in a duel.
Yeah, well, another thing, too, once you say, if you say, look, I'm an atheist, affirm or avow, that's pretty much one side or the other is not going to want you on the jury either, right? So what would you say? Next time. Go ahead.
No, this kind of stuff just stumps me. I mean, I'm sitting, really? Kentucky is, really? Because, I mean, the anti-dueling statutes, you have to understand, were promulgated in the late 18th century. And some states still hadn't done it. That's why Aaron Burr got in trouble, Jim. By 1802 or 1803 or 1804, whenever, the state of New York had outlawed dueling. So that's why when Aaron Burr challenged Alexander Hamilton after Alexander Hamilton said something absolutely loathsome about Aaron Burr, and Alexander Hamilton accepted the dual challenge, they had to row across the Hudson River to the plains of Weehawken because New Jersey had not yet gotten around to outlawing dueling. And right. Kentuckians Thanks. Were forever dueling. And I mean, people don't realize what a part dueling played in the early United States, and that's why it had to be outlawed, because people were legally murdering each other all over this country. I mean, men. I mean, you can the Stephen Decatur House right there on off of Lafayette Square in Washington D.C. has a plaque on it that explains how Stephen Decatur met his end. He was a famous commodore, you know, in the early days of the U.S. Navy. Met his end after a damn duel, way up into the 19th century. Because some other naval officer had been offended by the fact that Stephen Decatur said that he did not acquit himself very well as captain of a ship. Jesus. And so, lo and behold, they're still worried about it in Kentucky.
Well, I mean, a lot of the things the states, particularly the southern states, but it's not exclusively there. A lot of the wacko shit they worry about, I find absurd. But you know, I guess that's when I come from being a 21st century schizoid man or something like that. I just find it. You know, let's get into the 21st century, right? You know, let's remember that romantically and mark it down, blah, 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 but let's move on. But, you know, I guess I'm just a very progressive individual.
Well, I think you are. I think there's no doubt. By the way, just so we can keep this all sorted out, Ron and Raleigh, points out, Sister Clerk Davis actually was impregnated by husband 3 while married to husband 1 before marrying husband 2. She then divorced husband 2 and married husband 3. And Ron points out, she must have something going on other than her good looks. Can you can you bill that laugh, Rick?
I'd like to. Hey, Bob, how are you?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing fine. I'm sorry I missed most of the show here. I at like 4:15, 4:10, just when you're getting ready to fire it up, I got a call from an attorney. I had to take it, and then a client called, and then I had to meet with my boss, and you know. So, but it's all billable. So there you go. That's the important thing.
Absolutely. So did you happen to hear the digression over whether or not Judge Bunning should rat slap Liberty Counsel? Right out of their 501c3 funding, with maybe a rule 11, sua sponte kind of thing.
Well, that'd be nice. Based on filing frivolous, taking a frivolous position. Yeah.
Well, frivolous bad faith pleading.
Yeah. Well, another thing that could happen. I'm sorry I missed that, but yeah, I think that's a possibility. And also, what about a referral to the to the state bar that attorney is a member of?
It would suit me fine, right down to the ground.
Yeah.
But doesn't Federal Rule 11 still contain language about filing pleadings for the sole purpose of harassing litigants?
Well, let me grab it. I got the code here in my office. Let's see.
Wow, those are real law books behind you and not just a backdrop?
Oh, no. No. I don't know what you're seeing.
No, it's an old Simpsons joke.
Oh, there you go.
These are real books behind me, real law books behind me, and not just a backdrop. And if we don't win your case, we'll give you a pizza.
Okay, so every pleading or written motion, other paper, must be signed by at least one attorney of record in the attorney's name, or by a party if the party is unrepresented. And let's see here. Let's see. Okay, by presenting to the court a pleading, written motion, other paper, whether by signing, filing, submitting, or later advocating it, an attorney or unrepresented party certifies that to the best of the person's knowledge, information, and belief, formed after an inquiry reasonable under the circumstances, that it's not being presented for an improper purpose, such as to harass, cause unnecessary delay, or needlessly increase the cost of litigation.
Wait, unnecessary delay. So the harassment doesn't have to be coupled to the unnecessary delay, or what was that third one?
It's or needlessly increase the cost of litigation.
Okay, so just the unnecessary delay will ground.
Yeah, harassment's a separate
and
one.
So when you've got a ruling from the Supreme Court that says, no, we're not kidding, gay people can get married.
Right. Yeah.
And we go through this process, and they file pleadings with these bullshit arguments, of which there are a multitude.
Yeah.
Can a federal judge can sua sponte just, I mean, sua sponte, a federal judge can order out pizza in the courtroom, can't he?
The judge can do any kind of order to show cause. Order to show cause why, you know, Domino's should not be the official pizza of the Eastern District of Kentucky. No, the judge can do anything. They can use the order to show cause to do a wide variety of things. So, yeah, I mean, you know, they could do an order to show cause why, you know, Rule 11 sanctions shouldn't be imposed against this attorney and his law firm. But there's more, Bob. Besides those three things, the claims, defenses, and other legal contentions are warranted by existing law or by a non-frivolous argument for extending, modifying, or reversing existing law or establishing new law.
Okay, so the inquiry there would be, is there a good faith argument for reversing the Supreme Court's already made decision on which they have already been petitioned and refused to rehear the case?
I don't think so. Yeah. So, you know,
and that has to be a good faith argument, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they have to be able to basically
and within our system of constitutional governance, Rick, it is not a good faith argument to say that we should ditch the Constitution in favor of a theocracy.
Well,
because that is actually an anti-constitutional argument.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, Marbury versus Madison was wrongly decided, according to the Huckstabee, right?
Yeah, but he ain't in front of the bar of the court. Those that Matt Staver clown is.
Yeah, he should definitely be in some serious trouble for going along with this whole litigation, you know? I mean, you know.
Well, he didn't go. No, that's the thing, Rick. He didn't go along with it. He came up with it.
That's true. He ran with it. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the Liberty Council is nothing but a pettifogging chop shop.
Right. You know what? I wonder, maybe we could somehow get Judge Atherton and Kim Davis together. They seem like they're like simpatico. They would be perfect for each other. And that way we could get Kim Davis out of
Jim Bob Davis has a shotgun.
Oh, there you go. That's right. I forgot about that.
And he's done said that he'll use it on anybody comes and knocking on his door. And I can only presume that includes Chancellor Atherton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Well, you got to watch out for anybody named Jim Bob, you know, for any number of reasons.
Well, I just kind of named him that, but it'll work for practical purposes.
Oh, hey, Jim Bob Duggar, that's his real name. So there you go.
Yep.
Patriarch of that fecund family, or whatever you want to call it.
Which, by the way, somebody on Twitter used the hashtag Free Kim Davis, Rick, saying Free Kim Davis so that she and pro-incest adulterer Josh Duggar can finally elope with his publicity whore soulmate on a TLC reality program.
Oh, perfect. You know, I also, I haven't done any research, but I'm not aware that Richard Dahmer, the Boston Strangler, and John Wayne Gacy were let off on bail. For some reason, I suppose if I did the internet research, I suppose it wouldn't show up.
I'm pretty sure it wouldn't, because I mean, this murder is the only case in which you are not entitled to bail, according to the Constitution, right?
I'd have to read the Constitution.
I mean, you can be given bail in a murder, but you are not entitled to it as a matter of constitutional right.
Right. I think that's probably accurate. Yeah.
You get tagged for burglary, you can be admitted to bail, and you know, there's not the only restriction is it has to be a reasonable bail, sufficient to secure the attendance of the defendant at trial.
Right, right. And again, because this is civil contempt, I don't see there being a trial.
Well, I think we already had that, and it was called a rule to show cause hearing.
Right, right.
And I don't think you and I or Steve are making this particularly hard to comprehend. And so I think it's pretty easy to comprehend, even if you're Emery and Marvelline. And the reason reason that there's nobody there except the Attack Blonde and Mike Huxterby on the Fox set is that the argument could be immediately demolished.
Precisely. They're not going to have a legal, they're going to keep the real lawyers or legal experts, like, you know, 5 miles away from that studio, you know? Or I should say 100 miles away from that studio.
I mean, so what? Are you saying they locked Greta Van Susteren in her dressing room?
Probably so. She's a lawyer, right?
Yeah, because she was in there with the hockey puck and the duct tape going...
Jeez. Oh, I tell you, you know, it's like...
Oh, by the way, iPie from the chat room pointing out Judith Miller didn't get bail. No bail for contempt of court.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
Or who was the woman who got stuffed in the hooscow in the great search for Bill Clinton's penis?
Oh, God.
I mean, she was in there a long damn time.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the judge forgot she was there, I think. No? I used to do summons enforcement cases with taxpayers who were summoned by the IRS and refused to comply, you know, because they were sovereign citizens or whatever hooey they came up with, you know. And so they'd get thrown in jail for contempt. And there was one guy, I think the office record was some guy spent like 18 months in prison before the judge finally like figured out, oh, you know, maybe I better have a hearing to see if this person's going to comply. It's like they weren't going to comply, so he just let them off, you know.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you love to hear Judge Bunning go, Kim who?
Yeah, there you go. Kim Jong-il?
Yeah, because another of those wonderful tweets. You remember when Ben Carson, the poorly politically educated meat mechanic, remember when Ben Carson said that prisons turn people gay?
I haven't.
Okay, so you'll have to take it on faith, Rick, that he did. Because
I believe
you. Joe, my God, using the hashtag Free Kim Davis said, "Free Kim Davis because we do not want her turning gay in jail." with a picture from Orange Is the New Black.
Oh my God! You know, I would hate to see her family tree. She's actually your cousin, Bob, huh?
No, she isn't. She's a Davis by marriage. So unless she's a Choate or a Lancaster back there somewhere, I'm in the freaking clear.
Oh, thank God!
hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Roger says we need to shift to food porn,
and we will in short order. But these last couple of tweets are just too damn good. hashtag Free Kim Davis is probably the sign her first three husbands put on the front lawn.
Jeez.
I would agree to Free Kim Davis when she agrees to be stoned for her adultery. Hashtag follow all the commandments. Another photograph from Orange Is the New Black. five of the women of color characters looking around the corner at something. No, they did not put that white girl here.
Oh my God, that's a kick.
And then my favorite, hashtag free Kim Davis. Worst coupon ever. Okay, go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, I was going to say, with all the problems we have facing this country and this world, why the hell are we stuck on stories like this? I mean, it's funny, okay? I mean, at least it gives us a bit of levity, but it's like, wouldn't our resources be better, you know, used, you know, dealing with our real problems as opposed to...
Well, and you know what? That's a legitimate critique of me. And I tried to explain that a little bit earlier, saying, you know, this isn't just, you know, look at the freak. Oh, my God, the circus is coming through town. For me, I mean, this is part of a larger picture of the crumbling of our crumbling empire. And the sort of pissing away of the last vestiges of constitutional government. I have for years, Rick, said that the First Amendment is nothing but a life support system for the religion industry, and I will, you know, I will fight on that hill.
Yeah, you're proven right again and again with the stuff that, you know, comes up, like Hobby Lobby and this whole thing, and you know, you name it, you know. So. Well, anyway, I think Roger may want to get in here for food porn, Bob.
Absolutely. And I was going to say, yeah, let's move over to Roger for a little food porn.
Well, before I get to the food porn, I got to go. Both Stephanie Miller and Bill Press today spent each of their 3 hours bitching about how Trump has taken over the media and all the rest of it. And they spent the entire time talking about Trump, bitching about how Trump's taken everything over and not talking about Bernie, Hillary, or any of the issues. I mean, we have been sucked into Trump and this dumb bitch in Kentucky, and that's all they're talking about. They're not talking about our income inequality. They're not talking about our tax structure. They're not talking about the things that really matter.
Well, okay, Roger, and that's a legitimate critique. I will only offer this in my own defense. I make certain assumptions about the Horn Family Commune congregation. To my discredit, I don't think a lot about people who may be new listeners to the program, or you know, along those lines. I take it as read that I don't have to, and we don't have to explain income inequality to the members of the Horn Family Commune congregation any more than the choir director has to do call and response of how great thou art to the choir.
Yeah, and I totally understand. That's just my little make a little bitch because I've been listening for a while. Anyhow, to the food porn. In Santa Rosa area, this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, there is a happening called the Heirloom Expo, and this is a event put on at the fairgrounds by Baker Creek Seeds out of Missouri, which is also the seed bank in Petaluma, and they take over the fairgrounds and they put out all these heirloom non-GMO numbers. And they send out a thing to all their seed suppliers saying, if you got stuff from your garden, bring it to us and we'll give you a pass for the entire show. And so Monday morning, I'm going to get up about 5 o'clock in the morning and drive down to Santa Rosa and take one of my Getty Okosaman, I think that's how you say it, squash down there. But I've got a little bit of a problem, and that is that my scale only goes to 20 pounds. And when I make a little bit of a sling and try and weigh the squash that's laying on the ground, it wraps all the way around to 20 pounds and then pegs out. So I don't know how heavy, and I've got, I don't know, 8 or 10 of them that are giant. nice pumpkin yellow orange kind of color, but they're elongated like a giant cucumber. And I'm taking down a couple of those to enter into what's called the Heirloom Expo in Santa Rosa.
Hot damn, I think that's awesome.
And if there's any Horn listeners that are anywhere in the San Francisco Bay Area, Santa Rosa, Petaluma, Ukiah, you know, kind of area, or if somebody else just wants to take a break and can deal with Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, going to this Heirloom Expo in the Santa Rosa Fairgrounds, I would encourage him to do it.
If it was at all humanly possible, I'd be there with bells on. And clothing, too. Well, I mean, I don't want to scare anybody.
Well, my understanding is last year they had 400 different varieties of heirloom tomatoes exhibited at the show.
Wow. And me being the tomato, the tomato freak that I am. Oy.
And I've got a grower friend that's over in Willow Creek, and Duncan knows where that is. But he's got like 10 or 15 different varieties he grows, and it's an amazing display when he sets it up because of the different colors and all the rest of that stuff. But I cannot imagine 400 different varieties of tomatoes, because if you get into a seed catalog or something like that, they've got 8 or 10. But apparently, and I'll take some pictures and I'll post them, but I'm headed down. I'm leaving here about 5 o'clock Monday morning, get down there. I got to be in Petaluma by 10 and, spend a couple of days there and put out the, I've already made my little placard that I'm going to put on it for the fantastic squash that you provided me the seeds with. And, go to the Heirloom Expo, which is, according to their website, the biggest heirloom seed produce exhibition in the world. Anyhow, that's my food porn for the night. Hello?
Oh, I just have to add to that McDonald's breakfast thing. I find myself over I have too many eggs. My neighbor gave me 2 dozen eggs the other night, and my stepson brought down some eggs from their chickens. So I've got like 4 dozen eggs in the refrigerator. So I'm eating omelets now for dinner.
Yummy.
Oh, by the way, Duncan, you can store eggs in the refrigerator for a month or two.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
I'm not worried about them.
They're particularly better if they haven't been washed. If they're unwashed eggs, you can store them for like 6 months, because when the chickens squirt them out, they coat the shell with a mucus kind of thing, and they don't dry out. But if you buy store-bought eggs, they've all been washed, and that mucous membrane has been wiped off, and they'll end up dehydrating and rotting on you. But if they're unwashed eggs, you can store them for a long time.
Don't they bleach them to turn them white? Either.
Don't they what?
I mean, eggs aren't naturally white when they come out of the chicken, are they?
Well, it depends on the chicken.
Oh, well, all these are brown eggs, so I don't know.
Do they have any chicken shit on them?
No. Some of them are green eggs.
All right, they've been washed. Therefore, they're not going to last as long. You can get green eggs, white eggs, brown eggs, blue eggs. You can get them all different colors. But the normal eggs we see in the supermarket are either white or brown. But there's all kinds of blue to greens that go on them. But if you're wanting to store eggs, you want to see some chicken shit on the egg, because that means it hasn't been washed.
And you don't have to refrigerate the egg either, do you?
I think somehow or another we just passed right out of food porn.
No, food porn, we're talking about eggs.
You're talking chicken shit.
Yeah, see, there's that part. Yep. Thank you, Tim.
No. It has to do. I mean, a chicken when they're doing their nesting number is going to wait for a clutch of somewhere around 15 to 20 eggs before the hen sits down on them, and that takes 12 to 20 days for the chicken to squirt out that many eggs. And when they're all covered with that mucous membrane, and the reason you got chicken shit on is because the egg vent is so close to the anus of the chicken that it gets contaminated.
See,
on the
this
way
is
out.
What I was saying about we've gone right away from food porn.
No. It's still food. Come on, Bob.
People are eating this now, guys.
No. Now we're talking about poop.
Well, yeah, we're talking a little bit of shit, but, you know, you can't grow stuff without shit.
Well, that's true. I mean, right.
But,
you know,
anyhow, if they're unwashed eggs without refrigeration, they're good for a couple of months. If you put them in the refrigerator, they're good for about 6. Now, if you wash them and get rid of that mucous membrane, then all of a sudden you're looking at less than 30 days for storage of eggs, unless you have the exact correct humidity, temperature, blah, blah, blah bullshit. I mean, when I was on the Coast Guard cutter, and after about 15 days, I wouldn't eat the scrambled eggs and all the rest of it because they were all commercially produced washed eggs, and they sucked. Now, after 4 weeks at sea, we started eating the powdered eggs, and they suck even worse. But no, if they're unwashed, you got 30 days before you even need to put them in the fridge. And if you put them in the fridge, you got 90 days, 180 days. And they're still good.
Okay, moving on. How about this story?
Well, wait. You mentioned McDonald's a minute. Hold on, Sparky, because we had... We had a response from our buddy Robert in Australia regarding McDonald's. Subject line says, McDonald's do not have restaurants. One, McDonald's do not have restaurants. They have locations for dispensing salt and sugar. Two, serving breakfast all day will make that scene in Falling Down confusing to future viewers. And P.S., I was last in McDonald's over 12 years ago when I was dragged in by friends. I refuse to have anything but a shake. And you probably didn't, you didn't dodge a bullet by just having the shake, Robert, trust me. I mean, is there even any dairy product in that, or is it just all vegetable oil like a Wendy's Frosty is?
They're calling it a Wendy's Frosty, just vegetable oil?
Yeah, there's no milk in that. It's kind of like prison cheese. There's no actual cheese in prison cheese. It's just vegetable oil.
I mean, I do my goddamnedest not to eat at any fast food place ever. You know, once in a while, I'll slip up and get a burger here. What was that steak burger thing McDonald's had a while back? But generally, I just avoid it like the plague, you know. GP. But, I just avoid it as best I can. You know, and then the weird thing is you start looking at other chains, and it's probably not that much different, you know?
Well, yeah, and see, now this may disappoint some people, but I have a dirty little secret. If they do this breakfast all day thing, despite the fact that it is a violation of clearly unvarnished biblical principles, as the author noted there, if they do this breakfast all day thing, I'm probably never going to eat another McDonald's hamburger. Because the one thing that I love, and I'm guilty of it, the one thing I love at McDonald's is their godforsaken sausage gravy. That either kind of, depending on, and we've had this debate before, either comes in powdered form and gets mixed up at the store, or comes in great 5-gallon buckets like spackling mud does. But whatever it is, I get it over one of their grease bomb biscuits and just lay to with a will with the black pepper, and I am a happy camper. I know. I just made 99.9% of the Horn Family Commune congregation go, oh no, yuck. But yeah.
No.
McDonald's sausage gravy is better than any commercial sausage gravy out there. None of which, let's be fair, none of which can touch the sausage gravy that one makes at one's own stove in one's own iron skillet.
I loved Air Force shit on a shingle.
Not the same animal.
It's sausage gravy.
No, it isn't.
No, it was cream chip beef.
Cream chip beef, exactly.
Cream foreskins on toast.
Yeah.
No, I'm staying corrected.
Well, I mean, that's only because I'm dogmatically insistent about food porn.
But it was great when you were stoned. In the middle of the night, we used to have to go to Midnight Chow. In order to go to Midnight Chow at Beale Air Force Base, where I was stationed working on the SR-71, you had to be in fatigues to go to Midnight Chow. But we'd be stoned or something, loaded or something. We'd go to Midnight Chow. I'd love that shit.
Well, Bob, people feel bad. I mean, I'm
the Chow Hall was called the Redwood Inn, so it was fancy.
I've started something. Ron and Raleigh begs to differ, and he says there's only one thing worth eating at McDonald's, and that's the steak and egg and cheese biscuit. See, we all no. Most of us have our dirty little secrets. We've been in McDonald's one time or another. Now, to be fair, if they would just build a damn crystal up here, I would never see the inside of a McDonald's again.
A what?
Crystal.
A crystal?
Yeah.
As in meth?
No, as in with a K, crystal. Founded, I can't remember where, but it's like a White Castle, only much tastier.
Oh.
I was going to say, that's like White Tower.
You know, little square steamed buns with little tiny thin square burgers. And sautéed onions and pickle and a little bit of mustard and bang, and you can
Wendy's.
Eat. No.
No?
No. I mean, crystals are like less than $1 a piece. You can get a dozen in a sack. I mean, an ordinary adult male can probably rip through a dozen crystals without even trying.
That sounds like the old White Castle.
Right, but they don't do
in the late 60s, they were 10-cent hamburgers.
And that's exactly what crystals were. Although the thing is, crystals don't do to your digestive tract what White Castles do. Yeah, see, Earther just told me they closed the crystal close to here. Oh, the humanity. I mean, I've got it marked out. When I head south, for instance, I know immediately, either going down the East Tennessee route or through Kentucky and into Tennessee, I know where I'm going to find my first crystal. And I always stop there. Because they're just, granted, they're industrial little burgers, but damn, they're good.
Well, I have to drive, Tim was saying in and out, I have to drive either 30 miles north or 40 miles south for In-N-Out Burger. And if I was going to go south to Chico, I'd rather just go to the Sierra Nevada Brewery and eat lunch there.
Come on, there's an In-N-Out in Red Bluff.
No, there's not.
Isn't that good burgers?
I think there is, Fergie.
No, there's not.
What the hell was the burger number when I came up from Biggs on 99 and turned into Red Bluff that had free Wi-Fi, where I sent you the message and you weren't around and blah, 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 and we never met up.
McDonald's.
Oh, okay. It was a Mickey D's. I'm sorry.
Okay. And see, those of us who live in the eastern part of the United States, we have heard for yea, verily, lo, these many, many long years about how awesome In-N-Out Burger are. We have no knowledge. And so with Jim having gone from Louisiana stand to Nevada stand, Ron and Raleigh just asked, since Jim is on the line, ask if he has tried In-N-Out Burger or Fat Burger.
Oh, I like Fat In-N-Out Burger. And Fat Burger is real good. I mean, like tonight, I'm going to have like just some boiled potatoes, and I ended up buying just a box of Banquet frozen prefab chicken. I mean, unless you're going to, like, go almost vegan. And I toy with that idea, but that's a hard thing to do.
I buy those god-awful Banquet microwavable Salisbury steak and gravy. And the thing about those, Jim, is I'm pretty sure I'm eating vegetarian when I do that. I don't think there's any actual meat in them. It's kind of like what Earther says about the Crystal Burgers. He says probably they use a USDA grade D beef, but I still like them. It's not everyday eating food, of course. No, it's not. No.
I won't go to In-N-Out because if you get a Coke or a milkshake or anything else, they got these goddamn Bible 1:23 or whatever on their cups. They're a Hobby Lobby right wing fucking religious asshole pile of crap. And the burgers are good. I have eaten them, but I will not patronize the store. Like I won't go to Walmart.
You know, it's amazing to me the things that engender conversation on this program. One, I got big time pushback from Jay Cruz, and the subject line in the email just says bullshit. Hardee's has much better sausage gravy. Meanwhile, Kate out on the Front Range says, subject line Mickey D's, good news that there's breakfast all day long. Gotta eat a sausage biscuit with grape jelly. Ooh. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, now, all right, Kate. Anybody but you, I would say, I'm not so sure. But, okay, it's on the list now. So, I mean,
one more thing real quick, bad news. I had to get some grits for breakfast this morning. I had to get the individual packets. They don't have, like, a big thing of grits. Still got that grits thing in me going. So.
Well, it being Nevada, you're lucky you got grits at all.
I know.
You're lucky they're not out there. I mean, it's Vegas. You're lucky they're not out there selling them by the individual grit.
You probably.
Now, see, I was, as I mentioned, and we're running out of time, but as I mentioned, I've just had a lovely couple of days with Brother Deacon Asa, and I was telling him, because he's headed Atlanta way, I was telling him that there's a place down there, at least it used to be, I assume it's still there, called the OK Cafe, and they do fried cheese grits. And what they do is they make really, really cheddary cheese grits that are really, really thick, and they lay them out in a sheet pan, and they refrigerate them till they're really good and cold and stiff. And they cut them into, like, French fry strips and batter them a little bit and, boom, into the hot fat. And out they come, and oh, my God.
Do they give you, like, the choice of Gouda or something like that?
Oh, no. It's just, it's just cheese. Damn it, it's cheese grits. Don't you know?
fancy cheese.
Ron and Raleigh says, I haven't been to Vegas in a few years, but there used to be a pizza joint on the strip called Boston Pizza, one of the finest steak and cheese hoagies ever. And, of course, my one lone trip to Vegas, I'll never forget how our buddy Tony, we were sitting there broadcasting live from the exhibit hall at Netroots Nation, and he brings me this breakfast burrito that's the size of the freaking Ark. And I think it had every food group in it and some that have yet to be identified by the USDA, and it was delicious. I ate it for breakfast and lunch. Oh, it was good. I don't know where. I'll have to find out. I'll message him on Facebook and find out where that awesome breakfast burrito came from, and I'll pass it along to you, Jim.
Well, I appreciate that.
Well, I mean, we got to look out for each other, right?
Well, right, brother.
All right. Well, gang, this has flown by. It is a minute before the hour, so we got to get out of here. I will note on the way out the door that we have finished the evening, and thank you, Jug of Punch, our buddy Thomas, for taking us down to a nice round number to give my brain a break over the weekend. We have finished with just $200 to go to finish out the week. That means Moran Monday's fundraising goal will start at $400, unless something dramatic happens over the course of the weekend. So thank you, everybody, for getting us that, to where we can sort of see over the top of the hole. Thank you very kindly. And thanks to one and all for a wonderful week of broadcasting. Thanks. Special thanks to Asa for dropping by to say howdy. We had a wonderful time. Agnes enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. And I sure hope we get to do it again soon. Thank you to all of you who make all of this happen. We would not be well past our 10th year of broadcasting were it not for your kind contributions that pay the bills here. So thank you very much. A reminder, there are premiums on the table. If you want to go to the race in Darlington come Sunday, you got to get to me pretty damn quick. But they can be yours. And remember, the two tickets are a retail value of $216. So, you know, don't take them if you're not going to go. But if you want to go, take them. That having been said, everybody have a wonderful weekend. We've gone over time by a minute or so. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Bye now.